You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's do this thing. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are. We got a freaking stack to show, man. I think we might set a Guinness World Record on today's program for giving you as many picks on as many different events as we're going to do on today's show. You know, I put like four and a half hours into this thing for what is about a 47 and a half minute show. So it better be a good one. We've got a ton of stuff to break down. Steve Merrill's going to join us. ProSportsInfo.com, one of the covers experts. We're talking Final Four. We're talking CBI Final. We're talking CIT Final. The college basketball season is coming to an end. We've really enjoyed it. We've had a pretty good week on the college hardwood. We gave you TCU. TCU and the over. TCU and the over. Cashes. Tonight we got Wyoming on the board. We gave you Wyoming the other night. Wyoming and Coastal Carolina and St. Peter's and Texas A&M Corpus Christi are playing for a championship tonight. That's right. So it winds down tonight. And then after that, we've only got three more college basketball games this year. Steve Merrill breaks them all down. He also talks Martinsville. We have our first short track NASCAR race of the season. We break that down with Steve Merrill as well. The Raging Redhead Cam Stewart joins me in studio as he does every Friday. We'll talk a little Final Four. We'll take a look at tonight's NHL card. And we've been doing pretty well with the Johnny Public Parlays this week. Shout out to my boy Jesse, who I believe is in Edmonton, Alberta. Said, hey, Morenci, keep these Johnny Public Parlays coming this week. And we got another one tonight. Except I'm a little bit concerned about this one. Yeah, are we going back to the well one too many times with this one? We might be. We might be going back to the well one too many times, but we got another Johnny Public Parlay. We got some hot roster DFS picks. We got some DraftKings NBA picks for you. We got everything for you. And, oh, yeah, we also have some WrestleMania picks for you as well, because I know the hardcore DGens like to lay it down on WrestleMania. And we've got an old-school hardcore Mother Phantom joining us on the program today. My boy Rockamaniac, Steven Wilson, Rowdy Wrestling. Co-host of Rowdy Wrestling. Nobody knows the wrestling game like he does. WWE, TNA, everything else, Impact, everything in between, Ring of Honor and all. He's the king of wrestling, this dude. He's going to join us. And he's old school. And in fact, Rockamaniac tuned in to our first ever radio show over 15 years ago, 16 years ago now. Our first night, Rockamaniac was on board. Now he's got his own wrestling show, and you know, he joins us to navigate WrestleMania for us. We got a ton of stuff to get to. Let's get right down to business. The NCAA Final Four is set. What started out as 68 is now sitting at 4. And of course, South Carolina Gamecocks, the most improbable of the four teams left remaining standing. The Gamecocks were 200-1 for the record coming into the year. 200-1 to win the championship. And what people saw during the regular season didn't change their mind. They were 200-1 to win the NCAA tournament. We're talking about a basketball team that was 1-8 against the spread in their last nine games. We're talking about a basketball team that was 3-6 straight up in their last nine games. We're talking about a basketball team that only scored 53 points against Alabama in the SEC conference tournament. They scored 65 points in one freaking half. An offensively challenged team during the regular season has freaking exploded. Can they keep it going now that they've had a couple of days off, now that they're being told how good they are? Zendarius Thornwell has been freaking killing it, putting up over 24 points a game in this tournament. It's an epic run that the Gamecocks are on right now. But I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I've told you time and time and time and time and time and time and time again that 17 of the last 19 winners are either one or two seeds. History tells us that South Carolina is in a little bit of trouble right now, and history tells us that it will be Gonzaga and North Carolina playing on Monday night. But not so fast, my friend, as Lee Corso would say. The bottom line is, do you really want to get in front of the South Carolina Gamecocks right now? Do you want to lay 7? You look at the Gamecocks, yeah, it's a Cinderella story, but you can argue they're the most dominant team left standing right now. They, you know, the Gamecocks are the only team here that doesn't have a lucky win, so to speak. You could say Gonzaga as well, although things got pretty funky against Northwestern, didn't they? And doesn't that feel like it was like last year already? that Northwestern got screwed and the lead would have been cut to 3 real late in that basketball game. But the South Carolina Gamecocks have broken teams down, man. They've broken their will one by one. Teams are just beat up. It's like street ball. And you know, we can't beat these dudes. These guys are just in our face. It's too much. That's what the Gamecocks are. And, you know, Gonzaga has been known to be a little bit soft. You know, they can't be soft against this Gamecock team. But you got the North Carolina Tar Heels. And, you know, I had the Tar Heels making it to the Final Four. And I was stupid enough to take Kansas because I jumped off the bandwagon of the Oregon Ducks. Now, nobody was pimping the Ducks as much as I was during the regular season. Dark horses to win, real sleeper at 18-1. But like a moron that I am, I jumped off the bandwagon when Chris Boucher got hurt. I think it catches up to them finally. You look at the North Carolina Tar Heels, man. You know, these guys actually get a second chance opportunity 42% of the time on their missed shots. So basically, you know, nearly half their shots they miss, they rebound and just put back in. You know, they're plus 13 with the rebounding differential. The Oregon Ducks are plus 4, but they're without Chris Boucher. Now, listen, bell went off and the bell tolled for thee last week. But Kansas, they're not known for having a lot of big men, and that was their weakness on the inside. And North Carolina should be able to expose the Oregon Ducks in the paint when it's all said and done. I think it's going to be Gonzaga against North Carolina, but it doesn't mean I'm laying a 7 with the Zags. We'll have some plays of the day a little bit later on. And of course, you can always follow us on Twitter for our final breakdowns over the weekend and decide when I get locked in. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. I am Gabriel Renzi. All right, let's do this. So we got a stacked show. Steve Merrill, Cam Stewart, Steve Wilson going to join us, a.k.a. Rockamaniac. We'll talk a little WrestleMania. As you can see, we got our boy. We got our boy here, John Cena, rocking in the house. And we busted this out just for Steve Merrill. We know Steve's a massive wrestling fan. What's going on, Steve?
I was back in the day. Cena was probably in third grade, though. so I watched the first three WrestleManias.
You watched like the WrestleMania 1, WrestleMania 2, WrestleMania 3.
Pontiac Silverdome, 100,000 fans. Was that 3 or 2? I think it was 3. Might have been 2. That was huge. I mean, that was in
yeah, the, that, like, that was their coming out party. I remember that.
Andre the Giant. I think that's when Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant went at it. Mr. T was in one
of
those.
So you haven't watched WrestleMania in like 30 years, and you gave up on the Washington Capitals a long time ago. What do you watch now, Steve?
I'm wearing the shirt today, though, just for you. I'm wearing a Capitals shirt. It's a little chilly here. We got some rain today, and I didn't want to go with the short sleeves. So, yeah, I put the caps on. This is probably a 15-year-old shirt, too. It's got the...
No, we didn't see the logo. Get the logo a little higher.
Yeah,
we
didn't see it. You know, it's the secondary logo for like 2000.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. You got the the golf one.
I've got the 1980 stuff when I really liked them, and now they're back to that look, which kind of throws me off and gets me tempted. But then again,
I like that old look. Yeah, the look is good.
The old Capitals logo was fantastic. I started to lose a little faith here. This was actually in 98 when they made the cup, and they had the this Eagle logo in the mid-90s,
I guess. Olaf Kolzig.
Yeah, and then they made the playoffs like in 2001 was the last time for like a decade, and I totally lost interest after that. And, Joe Gibbs came back to the Redskins, you know, about 10 years ago. That almost got me interested in the Redskins again, and I knew better. And I'm a wise older man now. And I don't get into WrestleMania for the same reason, I guess, although, you know, I probably could if I started following it.
Steve looks like a positive, happy-go-lucky guy, but he's pretty pessimistic. He's giving up on a lot of things.
I'm not pessimistic at all. See, that's the exact opposite. I'm intelligent, and I know how to cut my losses. That's what makes me a good sports bettor and a sports handicapper. Well, I've gone for 21 years now. So you got to know when to cut your losses, man. And so, the Capitals, the Redskins are the ultimate example of that.
So are you cutting your losses on Trump yet? Is this like the Redskins?
No. The Trump thing is really frustrating. Actually, I've got the TV on in the corner. I got Spicer's got a press conference right now, and they reran the Saturday Night Live rerun this past Saturday. It was the one from months ago when they did him with the podium bumping into the reporters. I mean, I'm still laughing from that. That's one of the funniest things ever. I can't watch these press conferences anymore without picturing that. And I'm just waiting for him to, like, attack the media with the podium and to take all those vitamins or aspirins and shove them.
It really is one of the funniest things. Saturday Night Live's had its highest ratings, like, ever, actually. And When Melissa McCarthy came out as Sean Spicer, and she goes, first off, I want to apologize for you to me, and I don't accept it. You know, he said, you know, Spicer dropped a reference the other day. He goes, don't make me run you over with this podium. And everybody cracked up. It's the first time he ever referenced it. Pretty funny, but anyways, yeah, the media is pretty negative about Trump, though, huh?
Yeah, I think it's a shame because I actually like some of the stuff he's trying to do, like deregulate government, cut some down wasteful spending, some of these agencies. But the problem is it's big government and they're going to fight him every way. You know, all these people don't want to lose their jobs and have these cake government jobs. And it's a problem. I see a stalemate for the next 4 years, which is bad for everybody.
Stalemate.
See, normally a stalemate's a good thing in the government game. That's normally a good thing.
There's going to be a stalemate for the next 400 years, all right?
Right.
That's the stalemate. It is what it is. But we've got a stalemate in the CBI. Let's get down to business because I promised people a ton of picks for everything tonight. It's a final championship night tonight. CBI Finals, Coastal Carolina. You and I talked about it. Take the home team in game one. Take the home team in game two. Interesting here in game three. To be honest with you, Steve, I really don't see anything different here in which Wyoming absolutely blasted them the other night, 81-57.
Yeah, that was so predictable. And I told you all along, play them in game two. That's the spot. And the odds makers adjusted the line accordingly, and it kept me off the game, unfortunately. Raw power ratings have Wyoming as about a 3.5-point favorite over Coastal on a neutral court. And the home court's usually about 3 points. So that would have made the line 6.5. But, of course, the odds makers made it 8.5, which is the correct line. Because home court for Wyoming, now 18-3 at home this year, just 4-12 away, has been worth at least 5 points or more. But what really was unique about that is the altitude edge, which is always one of the reasons they have a strong home court. But Coastal Carolina never plays in altitude, you know, in the Big South Conference on the East Coast. And obviously that was a factor in that game. Coastal really outplayed them, though, in game one. And that's what makes this game three interesting, because they had a big foul edge. They had a big offensive rebound edge at home. You know, the fouls sometimes go to the home team, but the offensive rebounds don't necessarily go to the home team. So I think Coastal could actually match up with Wyoming. The question is, can they overcome that altitude now? Will they be used to it in the second game? You know, I don't know if you get used to it in 3 days in Wyoming.
And I like Wyoming tonight, but I was just going to bring that up, actually, that you know, maybe that they're going to be a little bit more used to it. But as you stated, I don't think 72 hours is enough time really to get acclimated. And the fact is, too, in the last six times, teams off a loss in the CBI Finals are 6-0 against the spread. So there's a lot of zigzag in this back and forth series. But I'm leaning Wyoming. I don't think it's 81-57 again. But I'm looking at a 10-point win or so.
Well, what's interesting about that angle is you mentioned Mark Lawrence had that great stat that the home team in game one was 8-1. Now they're 9-1, of course, in this tournament. And why that's so unique is because this is a 1-2 home court situation, which you never see anywhere else. So that's one of the reasons, because the home team wins game one and then the home team wins game two. So that's one of the reasons the zigzag has worked. You know, game three, not necessarily that same situation, but I think here with the altitude, it's a real unique situation tonight.
CIT Finals, St. Peter's and Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Here's an unexpected championship. Somebody's hanging a banner after this one. And I'm kind of kicking myself because I bet a lot of Siena games. I bet a lot of Iona games. And I have bet on St. Peter's games over the years, but I shied away from that league a lot this year for one reason or another. And I see the Peacocks are now 21-8 against the spread, Steve. These guys are on a roll. 10-1 straight up in their last 11 games. 9-2 against the spread. Their only loss was to Iona in their conference tournament.
And they've been a bit of an under team as well. They've gone under 17 out of 28 games with a total, as you mentioned, 21-8 against the point spread. One of the most profitable bets in all of college basketball this year has been St. Peter's. And the odds makers still are having trouble with this team. It opened as low as 1.5 in some spots. It's now -4 across the board. Corpus Christi, obviously a tricky team because they don't have a lot of line games. They've played 35 games this year. They've only had 6 with a point spread, but they've gone 5-1 against the spread in those 6 games.
And so hard to overlook, Steve. Hard to overlook that 16-1 home record, too, isn't it?
Yeah, and let me ask you this, Gabe. Obviously, you always want to make the NCAA tournament, but if you knew you were going to lose the first game in the round of 64, if you knew you were going to lose, would you rather make it and lose or win the CIT or the CBI?
I think the CIT or the CBI, no, but the NIT, yes.
Yeah, I was thinking that with TCU.
If you're TCU, you're better off winning this right now and going into next year with a banner and a great feeling and recruiting, as opposed to getting bounced on the first Sunday of the NCAA tournament, right?
I agree. Plus, you make money probably making the NCAAs. You lose money because you got to pay for these home games like we've talked about in the CBI and the CIT. Yeah, I was thinking about that, though, with Georgia Tech TCU last night. It's actually why I brought it up, because obviously you always want to make the big dance. But if you're TCU, a good bubble team, and you're going to lose that first game, say it's like an 11 seed, I think you'd probably rather win the NIT. It's probably better for the program.
Yeah. So, yeah, what do you make of this one tonight? I'm gonna pull the trigger with the home team. I know St. Peter's been good, but this Corpus Christi is a tough trip, too. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's a unique trip. I'll take a shot with the 16-1 home team here.
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing is St. Peter's is the better team from the much better conference. They played a much stronger schedule, and it's pretty crazy when you're saying the MAC, the MAAC MAC,
yeah, I know.
Played a much tougher schedule than your opponent, because, I mean, they're one of the weaker conferences.
Metro Athletic, yeah.
Exactly, the AA MAC. But I think the home court here is legit, because you brought up a good point. You always have home courts and conferences and whatnot, but those teams are used to going there. One thing I've noticed with conference changes, and I follow this in the Colonial, was like when Elon and Charleston got added a couple years ago. Teams like William & Mary that I follow very closely would blow them out at home and then lose on the road in those games because they were smaller arenas. They weren't used to them. I think that could be a real disadvantage for St. Peter's tonight, even though they're the better team from the better conference.
Steve, let's jump into the Final Four right now. I did a little opening monologue about the South Carolina Gamecocks, and history tells us that this is normally where it comes to an end for Cinderellas. But they've been so dominant. It's not like they're winning at the buzzer or anything, Steve. They've broken the will and, you know, the spirit of some pretty good basketball teams along the way in this tournament. You know, Baylor just were tapped out and broken down in shambles. Florida, similarly, Florida went toe-to-toe, and Florida, our physical basketball team, they got their will broken. Duke, you know, they just couldn't overcome these kids from South Carolina. So even though, you know, history tells us, you know, Gonzaga, one seed, plays North Carolina, one seed most likely on Monday, you know, I'm really starting to buy into the Gamecocks in a 7 points, Steve.
I agree with you. They're a legitimate underdog here, and the main reason is their style of play. It's just like Butler when they made the back-to-back finals 5-6 years ago. They had that half-court defensive style. South Carolina's been doing that as well. The reason they're playing so extremely well is that they're also scoring, actually. And these games are somewhat going over the total, which is surprising with the Gamecocks, you know, game plan. Meanwhile, Gonzaga's been the exact opposite. They've had a very fortunate road here to the Final Four. Huge break playing Xavier in the Elite Eight instead of Arizona last weekend. Xavier was a phony Cinderella. I think South Carolina's a legitimate Cinderella. Xavier shot extremely well and beat Florida State and Arizona, two teams I thought they played really stupid basketball in those games. Gonzaga took advantage of Xavier. They've got another quote-unquote, you know, Cinderella here, so it's a good matchup for Gonzaga for that reason, but it's a tough team. South Carolina plays that half-court D, very well coached. It's ironic that Mark Few was coach of the year when Frank Martin, the opponent, should probably be the coach of the year for what he's done. Thornwell, though, the leading scorer for South Carolina, over 21 points a game, they're key. He's had an illness the last couple days. He's listed as probable, but that does concern me. That'd be the one red flag here with South Carolina.
Yeah, bad news for him. He has the flu. I think the kid's going to be able to suck it up, but he's averaging 24 points a game. The Zags now 36-1 straight up, an impressive 23-9-2 against the spread. Gamecocks 4-0 against the spread in this tournament, 3-1 to the over. Zags just 1-2-1 against the spread. I think Gonzaga could win this game, but it's, you know, winning by 8 is pretty ambitious. I'll roll the dice. You know, great point brought up by a couple of people this week, and I couldn't agree more. You know, Steve, I was on the Ducks wagon. I jumped off the wagon when Boucher got hurt. And, I won in that night in Vegas. They played in a Pac-12 championship game. Remember, we found out about an hour before the game that he was going to be out against Arizona. I liked Oregon all day in that game. I didn't pull the trigger on the bet, and I switched sides. I tweeted out, I rarely switch sides, guys, but I'm going with Arizona right now, and I won, so I sort of validated my let's get off their wagon. Here they are right now, but, Steve, you know this as well as I do, North Carolina are monsters, man. These guys, they have 42% offensive rebounds. They nobody bangs the boards like these guys. This is the game that they're going to miss Boucher, in my opinion.
Yeah, I actually had both Oregon and North Carolina in the Final Four on this side of my bracket. I had Arizona and I had Florida on the other side. So that was actually looking good, especially with Florida, I thought, over South Carolina.
But you did Oregon, better than I did, Steve. I only have one team left now, North Carolina.
Well, yeah, I mean, Oregon was a bold pick because, like you said, everybody written them off when it started because of the Boucher injury. And it was a bold pick for that reason. But I like the fact that nobody was talking about it because they still have the best guard in the country, I think, in Brooks. They still have some good size down low, even with Boucher. And they can play both styles is what it's impressed me. They obviously like up-tempo. which is what they did against Kansas, and that's how North Carolina plays. But what's more impressive is they beat Rhode Island and Michigan back-to-back games before that in ugly half-court defensive games. So the key here is going to be, does Oregon want to push the pace like normal against North Carolina, who probably does it better, or will they try to slow the game down, which obviously Carolina doesn't want? I'm just not sure Oregon's going to want to play that way.
And you know, Steven, I'm a big Oregon fan. I'm a fan of their players. I watch a ton of Duck games. But the one thing is, and you know I'm a Michigan fan, I'm a real Michigan fan, so I'm a diehard Michigan fan, but I watch a lot of Ducks games. And you mentioned Rhode Island. Rhode Island were good. But in all those games, Oregon still had more talent. You know what I mean? Michigan are good, but, you know, they caught fire. You know, I think this is the game where Oregon, they don't have more talent than the team that they're playing right now. And I like the fact that North Carolina lost in the championship game last year. I think they are focused and driven, and it's almost destiny for them to get back there. It's a tough game, but I'm leaning with the dog in the first one here, and I sort of see North Carolina pulling away late here, Steve, and maybe winning by 7 or something.
Yeah, I don't disagree, because I think Gonzaga's the weaker one seed between the two, and I think South Carolina being able to slow the game down maybe with a half-court set is a more dangerous underdog than Oregon, because I think Oregon's going to go head-to-head with North Carolina. Now, they did beat up Kansas with that style, and Kansas is pretty good as well, but I do think North Carolina's a better team than Kansas. They're a more consistent team, and I really thought the Kentucky-UNC winner would be the national champ. And Carolina, all that game was close at the end. Carolina led by a couple baskets most of the entire game against what I think is probably the second-best team in the country in Kentucky. So I would agree. I think we're going to probably have North Carolina-Gonzaga, but it would not shock me to see North Carolina-South Carolina.
All right, Steve. So before we get you out of here, NASCAR, Martinsville, STP 500. That's a name. Not the SpongeBob SquarePants 300 and some of the names that we have. STP 500. That sounds like a race. All right, so after racing on the mile and a half and the 2 miles, we got our first short track race of the season, of course, after opening with the plate race at Daytona. You know, it's amazing to me, the crazy stat about Martinsville. 4 drivers, Steve, have won 22 of the last 28 races here. It's mind-blowing. And 2 of them are retired, in Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart, which is the reason why Denny Hamlin is the favorite and Jimmy Johnson is a co-favorite this week. And Denny Hamlin, a 5-time winner here, average finish of 9.2 in 22 races here, 5 wins, 12 top fives, absolutely dominant, Steve.
Yeah, I think the real question this week will be, will the Gibbs cars, like Denny Hamlin, will they perform better than they have so far this season? They were the dominant team last year. And another guy, of course, as you know, is Kyle Busch, could do well on this track. So I think Hamlin and Kyle Busch are two guys you want to keep an eye on, because if they don't perform really well on this track, then we have to be starting to be a little more careful with the Gibbs cars, which have underperformed so far. Jimmy Johnson has also underperformed so far. He was dominant on those intermediate tracks at the start of last season, then kind of faded off a little bit. He hasn't been dominant yet, and neither has Kevin Harvick. So we've seen a change of the guard so far. We talk about it every week with Chase Elliott and Kyle Larson. This might be the week to leave them off your card, because it's more of a veteran experience type track, being a half-mile short track. However, Chase Elliott is in the Jeff Gordon car, of course, so will he carry over some of that Jeff Gordon magic? Will they have the setups for him? You know, does he like the same setup will be the key.
It's a great point that you raise as far as Joe Gibbs racing, but you and I talked about this briefly earlier in the week. It's almost like throw all the data out the window, right? And you're right, if Joe Gibbs and Joe Gibbs Racing, you know, has a problem here, then we've got a little bit of an issue. I'm not a technical gearhead, Steve, but I know that like Larson and his crew have really figured out the intermediate track, the package, the downforce and stuff. So this is going to be a little bit different. And you know, I said, I'm taking Larson every week. The guy's going to win eventually. And boom, you know, he cashes at 9-1. And I was ready to write him off here, Steve, but finished 3rd here last year. So
yeah. Well, the thing is, he has a good truck racing background, Gabe, and they always run the trucks. Martinsville has the truck race this week, and it's a short half-mile track. A lot of those truck races are on shorter tracks, so he really is the all-around complete package. You know, whether he does it this week, we'll see, but it wouldn't surprise me because of his truck background.
All right, Steve, so on Monday when we talk, we'll be breaking down the national championship game and some Major League Baseball games as well.
Yeah, by the way, look-ahead line right now is Carolina 2.5 over Gonzaga, if that's the matchup we get, which is interesting because, like, in Sagargan and KenPom, 2 big power ratings, Gonzaga's number 1 in all of those. It just shows that the odds makers aren't buying into, you know, the strength of schedule for Gonzaga.
Give me the heels. Steve, see how baseball started. You got your Caps. The Pirates are playing the Blue Jays today in Montreal. So I'm representing. They're honoring Tim Raines, Hall of Famer today in Montreal.
The team we both should roll into is the Nationals. Your ex-Expos and my local team still, because they probably have some good potential again this year.
I can't.
Although they're starting to become the Washington Capitals of baseball, I've noticed.
I can't like them.
I understand that. Yeah, I understand that. But they're also becoming the Capitals of baseball if you watch what they've been doing in the postseason.
They really are. It's a good example. Like, you have a photo shoot. Bryce Harper meet Alexander Ovechkin.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, like it really is. Very good point. You know, they had the Nationals. Will you like their chance? They should. You think they win a division?
Yeah, I mean, I see. Their pitching is loaded again. Obviously, the Cubs are I think the big X factor is, do the Cubs have that hunger again this year? Because on paper, the Cubs are a dominant team once again.
I'm taking a shot with the Dodgers to win the National League.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with that. I think the Dodgers, Nationals, and Cubs are the three teams to beat in the NL, and I think the Dodgers might be the sleeper out of all of those.
My Major League Baseball World Series, and tonight on Morency Unfiltered, guys, I'm going to give you some season win total of my best bets, but I like the Dodgers versus the Red Sox in the World Series. Steve, it's always a pleasure. We'll talk Monday.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with us, right? We're going to shake things up a little bit. It's WrestleMania 33. We got one of the best in the business, Steve Rockamaniac. Rowdy Wrestling will join us coming up next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morency. Let's talk some WrestleMania 33. As every year at this time of the year, we get suckered into betting on WrestleMania. And people always say, Morency, you're really going to bet on wrestling? It's fixed. And I say, yeah, how is that different than the NBA, the UFC, the NFL, or any other mainstream sport with pathetic, incompetent officiating? If you watch March Madness at all? Hey, it's all the same, right? If it moves, there's a line on it, and they're going to be moving this Sunday in Orlando, Florida. WrestleMania 33, the kickoff starts at 5 o'clock Eastern for you bettors, so you better get it in. Books often take this down earlier in the day on Sunday as well. Let's bring in a man that knows everything there is to know about WrestleMania and the WWE. Steve Wilson, a.k.a. my boy Rockamaniac, co-host of Rowdy Wrestling. You can find him at rowdywrestling.net. Steve, always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
Always a pleasure, brother. Good to hear from you and excited. It is WrestleMania weekend. You mentioned it. Not only do you get sucked in because it's, betting time for WrestleMania, but everyone comes back around this week for the, WrestleMania weekend, whether you're watching wrestling on a weekly basis or you're watching it just once every, once a year, WrestleMania is that weekend. Everyone gets excited for it and everyone comes back and is ready to check out the matches on Sunday.
Yeah, it's like the Kentucky Derby. Horse racing, triple crown. But it's amazing, Steve. I've really seen it. I'm sure you've noticed it over the years, especially over the last year or so. Mainstream sports sites, you go to CBSSports.com, you go to FoxSports.com, you go to ESPN even, and, they used to have a partnership with the coach and ESPN, et cetera, but, mainstream sports sites are covering the WWE right now because there is an audience for it, for Impact as well. Wrestling is and always will be popular, so let's jump in right now with some picks. Now, a couple of years ago, I did well at WrestleMania. And the last couple of years, I haven't, because I've taken underdogs, Steve, and it hasn't worked out. I've been suckered in and saying, well, he could win, she could win, and the line is so big. So I'm kind of hesitant this year. But let's talk about Andre the Giant's Battle Royal. Braun Strowman, Samoa Joe, Big Show, Finn Balor, Sami Zayn, Montrealer, Luke Harper, 14-1, Kane, 22-1. Rusev 22-1. And then you got your special surprise winners. Triple H, The Rock, Brock Lesnar, Shawn Michaels. How do you think the Battle Royal plays out?
Well, really, ultimately, it's between, three guys. It's between Braun Strowman, it's between Sami Zayn, and it's between The Big Show. The rest, it's pretty much all fluff. It was kind of, leading into this matchup here on Sunday, it was kind of like, well, we know that they're going to pretty much throw in everybody that they can, probably get a couple of surprise entrants. There will be at least one former world champion that will be thrown into the mix this Sunday. But, ultimately, it's between one of those three guys. And, you know, really it comes down to Strowman or Zayn. Either or could be an interesting bet, and it's somewhat the most safest of bets, if you will. But
I like where you're going with this because, you know, it's big odds for both of them. If you can sort of narrow it down, because, yeah, listen, I'm not an expert. I don't need to be an expert to know. Luke Harper's not winning this thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure. And neither is Triple H. He has his own match later on in the night. Neither is The Rock. You know, these guys are not winning that matchup. But Braun Strowman is the guy who needs it the most. You know, this is a guy that they've been trying to establish as a monster in the WWE. And therefore, for him to at least get that win on Sunday, it'll help, you know, continue that progression, and I'm sure the Big Show will be involved in this finish. So I'm going to probably lay it down on Strowman, but you know, I would not, you know, tell people that Sami Zayn would be an insane choice.
You know, Braun Strowman plus 1200, Sami Zayn plus 1000. This is why we got Rockamaniac on for insight like this. All right, the next one here. This is going to be entertaining because Shane McMahon's a nut job psychopath that'll do anything to entertain people. He's plus 500 against AJ Styles. AJ Styles minus 900. I assume that McMahon does some crazy things, but Styles is going to win, right?
Well, yeah. See, I don't know if you've seen the photos of the WrestleMania set, but they've basically set up an entire, you know, theme park within the stadium, and you know, the tagline is "Ultimate Thrill Ride," and likely, you know, Shane McMahon's probably flying off some sort of you know, roller coaster or something along these lines.
You know what's good about him, though, Steve?
Yeah.
At least, you know, like Vince has people kissing his ass, literally and figuratively and stuff. At least Shane can look these guys in the eye and say, hey, look, I'm not asking you to do anything that I wouldn't do, and I do crazier things than you guys.
Exactly. And but ultimately, this match kind of came together last second. They kind of realized a little bit after Royal Rumble that they didn't know what they were going to do with AJ Styles. And they begged Shawn Michaels to come in and face AJ Styles at WrestleMania. Ultimately, Shawn Michaels turned it down. They decide to put Shane McMahon in there because, like, as you mentioned, he's ready to do anything to get this match over. And yes, he's going to go flying. He's going to go off flying something high. But the safe bet is to go with AJ Styles, who is most likely getting the over here.
All right. So Montreal's rocking. Montreal's rocking tonight, the Olympic Stadium with the Blue Jays and the Pirates. But we mentioned Sami Zayn, a Montrealer, and Kevin Owens, another Montrealer, who has turned into a massive superstar. Big favorite, minus 1,000 against Chris Jericho from Winnipeg, actually. Jericho versus Owens, the United States Championship.
Well, this is one of those matches that actually have a very long-term build. You know, a lot of people like to criticize WWE nowadays in terms of how they build up their storylines and how it just finishes way too quickly. These two guys had a very, very long thing going on as best friends, and now they've split up, and we lead to the match of WrestleMania. A lot of heat here. There is a likelihood of Chris Jericho taking about a month and a half to 2 months off to tour with Fozzy following WrestleMania. So, you know, Kevin Owens going over, pretty safe bet here. Get that U.S. title because you got to keep Kevin Owens in a top spot where he could, you know, be on that mic on Raw each and every week because that is his forte and that's what people enjoy. So give him the title, let him have a little bit of a run with it before Jericho comes back and you could continue the feud later on this year.
And of course, as you remember, Jericho's my boy. Jericho's my boy. He hooked me up with some tickets even for a pay-per-view once. And, of course, Madness in Montreal. Jericho's in a band, Fozzy. He's got a mascot, Arthur the Pig. And basically, it's just a dude with a pig mask. So he came on my radio show at the time, and we had a contest. People called in and made pig sounds. And whoever made the best pig sound would get to be Arthur on stage with Chris Jericho. So this guy named Madness really sounded like a pig, because he is a pig. So he really sounded like a pig, like really like oink, oink, pig, pig stuff. Except the guy got scared. He chickened out, and he didn't show up. And I'm standing there with Chris Jericho backstage. He's like, what kind of show do you have? Your contest winners don't even show up. And I'm like, all right, I'll go get you an Arthur. Yeah, like, yeah, thanks. Yeah, that's my Chris Jericho story. But he hooked me up with tickets still. But we've only got a couple of minutes left here. Women's championship match. Bayley's a big favorite. So are they giving this thing to Bayley?
Well, see, here, this is the matchup that you're going to have to watch, okay? Now, what happens with WWE pay-per-views is that usually about 24 hours out, the smart money comes in, okay? And this line has been moving a little bit over the last 24 to 48 hours. It has been moving away from Bayley and towards the other competitors. So there is a possibility here that this changes and this flips between now and Sunday afternoon. And I would say don't be surprised if that does happen. There's a lot of possibilities here. One thing's for sure, Nia Jax will not be winning this matchup. Every time that someone, you know, lays somebody out on the last TV show before a pay-per-view, and she basically dominated all three at that point, they usually lose on Sunday. After that, all three are kind of wild cards. Sasha Banks likely turning heel in this program sometime soon, whether it be Sunday or Monday. You know, there's a likelihood that she could get that title there, turn on Bayley, and have a long-term feud there going on as well. And then Charlotte can move on and face Dana Brooke as originally planned for WrestleMania. She could do that in the months to come. So I would say watch for this line to change over the next 24 hours. But Bayley most likely retaining seems to be the best possible choice for the creative process going forward, where Sasha could then turn on Bayley and attack her, and you know, have another match at the future pay-per-view. So that's basically what the situation is right now. But I think this one's still developing.
Well, I tell you what, if this was like an MMA fight, and like if this was 100% real, Nia Jax would kill all three of them. Like, I think.
Oh yeah, for sure.
she'd kill all three of them. All right, we got to get out of here. We only got like 30 seconds to a minute here, Steve. So, Roman Reigns and Undertaker. Hey, listen, the streak's already over, so he can lose again. I guess Roman Reigns wins, right? Minus 700.
Yeah, pretty much. It's unfortunate that Taker's career is almost done. This could be it if he gets hip surgery. But either way, even if he does come back for next year, Roman Reigns getting the win here, which leads to that main event, because there is talk at WrestleMania 34 that Roman Reigns takes on Brock Lesnar for the WWE title. And so, therefore, Brock Lesnar should be walking out as WWE champion this Sunday at WrestleMania. Hopefully that match doesn't suck. It sucked 13 years ago at WrestleMania. It's a similar situation. It's a clash of styles. But, you know, let's hope for the best. And I'm sure that Brock Lesnar's walking out with that title. And maybe he faces Roman Reigns next year at 34.
He's the biggest favorite on the card. Minus 5,000. Goldberg's plus 1,200. Great job, Brockamaniac. We encourage people to check out Steve's podcast, Rowdy Wrestling. You can find it over at rowdywrestling.net. And he covers all the leagues, all the wrestling leagues. Always a pleasure, Steve. Thanks, man.
My pleasure, brother. Take care.
All right, there's Steve Rockamaniac with us. Good stuff. We're Rockamaniac. We go from a Rockamaniac to a redhead maniac. Cam Stewart, next. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. I got to talk really fast because we got to get to a ton of subjects with my boy, the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. And Cam's already been working hard this week, and especially today. Pat Mayo's really putting you to work, isn't he?
Yeah, he likes content. Whoa!
Well, you know, the Masters, it's like his Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is, right?
No, he even wore a green cardigan today. I go, okay, well, I only got two Blazers, so you're not going to get one from me. It's all good.
Stay tuned for information as far as the first ever Red Heat and Rage golf tournament is concerned to take place this summer. So, Cam, let's get down to business, give people some picks, blast through this Final Four. What are you thinking this weekend? I'm starting to buy into the Gamecocks plus seven.
I'm starting to buy into the Gamecocks too, Marantz. I usually don't do these things called teasers, but when these lines are North Carolina to a pick and your Gamecocks to plus 12.
Full slate of NHL games this evening. We'll get to some hot roster head-to-head matchups in a second. But let's start off. I know Henrik Lundqvist actually taking on Brian Elliott, but I just want to quickly talk about this game. Penguins, man, these guys are beat up.
Yep.
These guys are like more beat up than Roy Nelson at the end of a fight.
They are.
Pens are struggling. But Lundqvist has given up 5 goals in back-to-back games. That's a little bit of a concern. But with all the Pens' injuries, I like the Rangers minus 120 tonight.
So do I. I like the Rangers minus 120. There's a couple pooches that are going to be on my list, but you said it. Pittsburgh banged up. And it's interesting. They put Elliott and Lundqvist together on the hot roster card, but I'm looking to Lundqvist because I think the Rangers can win.
And I'll tell you, Cam, I've been playing the Johnny Public Parlay.
Yeah, it's working.
Every week, every day this week, and it keeps on hitting. Yeah. The other night, we hit the Blues and the Capitals.
Yep.
Blues and the Capitals. The Capitals were in Colorado.
Yep.
And the Blues were in Phoenix. It's reversed tonight. The Blues are in Denver, and the Capitals are in Phoenix.
Yep.
Is it asking too much to do it again?
It kind of is, Morency, but I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I will say this. Camera 2, Drew's a Colorado fan. For all you people that bet Washington minus 2.5 or whatever versus Colorado, you're lucky to win that game. Colorado was actually the better team in that game, so don't be scared if one of these nights they cash in at plus 250, even though they suck.
Let's jump in and talk some hot roster.
Yes.
Hot roster NHL hockey head-to-head. We'll start off with a goaltending matchup. Brian Elliott versus Henrik Lundqvist. And I just mentioned Lundqvist has given up 10 goals, back-to-back games. The Rangers given up 11 goals. He hasn't played well. Flames have cooled off a little bit, but Elliott's still 9-2 with a 9.35 save percentage in the month of March.
You said it, Morency. Elliott, but then the last game he let in 4 goals. As for Lundqvist, he's been ice cold, but we talk about the matchup. The Pittsburgh Penguins are beat up. Rangers are at home. When you're taking a goalie matchup, you look for that win. As for Elliott, I'm telling you, Gabe, I like the Sharks tonight as a pooch. They lose to Edmonton. They're going to be an angry, angry bunch of Sharks. They haven't been playing good hockey. So this one's interesting because all the signs point to Elliott. I'm going with Lundqvist to get the win on hot roster and the Rangers to get the win at minus 120.
I agree with that selection. So speaking of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Phil Kessel, he's one of the guys that's not injured right now, Cam. Taking on, speaking of Cam.
Cam Atkinson.
Atkinson, not Stewart.
Yep, Atkinson.
Who do you like?
4 points in his last 9, 11 shots in his last 4. But the thing about Kessel is he's also a minus 3 in his last 5 games. I love that Phil Kessel picture. You love it every time. I'll tell you. It gets me. Okay, Phil, don't hurt me. But I'm going with
Atkinson. Has he ever bought shaving cream?
Atkinson looks like he's like basically selling cookies for Boy Scouts. And Phil Kessel
looks like
the
Sage Northcutt in the UFC. Yeah. Hey, look at me.
And Kessel's shaking me down for money in an alleyway. I'm going with Atkinson in this matchup. Every time the Hawks and Jackets get together, we see fireworks.
Alex Steen versus Jonathan Toews.
Yeah, this is a very interesting matchup there. You're going to look at Steen and go, wow, how's he going to win? But you know what? Steen's getting in bunches. 4 points in one game. But I'm going to go with Toews, a more consistent guy, Gabe. More points, more shots. And that's what you look at in hot roster. When it's a tight matchup, you got to go for shots and penalty minutes. So I am going to go with Jonathan Toews in a very tough matchup. Don't sleep on Steen. He's a very, very streaky guy.
We talked about the Washington Capitals. They're on the West Coast. They were in Denver the other night against the Avalanche. Tonight, they're in Phoenix. Ovechkin, over under 5.5. Not 5, but 5.50 hot roster fantasy points tonight in Arizona.
It seems a lot to get there, Gabe. 1 shot in his last game, but listen to this. Before that, 6, 4, 8, 11, and 7. This guy, all he does is shoot the puck. Washington, we should be seeing some goals against the Desert Dogs. Ow! 5.5 looks like a lot. I usually like the under in these matchups, but give me over. If Ovechkin gets 1 point with his shot total, he'll get over.
They played, it's hard to keep up where the Coyotes play, but they play in Glendale, right?
Yes, they do play in Glendale.
That's where the Final Four.
Nice. Glendale, that's actually. Busy weekend in Glendale.
But because the biggest problem that the Coyotes had was they needed a new arena.
They need a lot of things.
They're moving again. Like, aren't they still in court arguing about, like, your arena you're playing in right now?
You're a desperate team when basically you go, hey, with every bottle of Smirnoff, we'll get you Coyote tickets. Like, they're giving stuff away there, Gabe. It's a problem.
Yeah.
Miller time?
All right. Well, I saw a great tweet last week about Bettman. Bettman talking about Arizona growing the game of hockey but not going to the Olympics.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
But anyways. All right, Ryan Miller, over under 5 fantasy points tonight. 2 teams that will not be going to the playoffs, the Canucks and the Kings.
I'm
going to
make this one, Gabe. Last week it was the Dallas Stars as my dirty pooch. I'm making the Vancouver Canucks at 165, my dirty pooch of the night. L.A. not playing inspired hockey. Vancouver, I know you've been bad, but you're at home. Why did they set this line at 5? Interesting, Morency. We could have got 3.5 or 4. I'm going over with Miller time to get the win. Dun, 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 dun.
Can you see me?
Dun, dun. You can't see me. You can't see me. I'm betting on the Canucks. My bookie won't see me.
Hey, I see your boy Dean Ambrose is plus 800 against this Corbin. This Corbin guy's minus minus 2,000. Sounds like Corbin's the new hotshot on the block.
Nobody ever got rich betting on wrestling dogs except for when The Undertaker lost to Brock Lesnar, and we weren't on it.
You're right. I'm telling you, I've been suckered, guys, in past years. Dean Ambrose plus 800, worth a look? No.
It's not worth a look.
You know,
I'm telling you,
these wrestling geeks, it's minus 2,000 for a reason. They know. They know. Plays of the day next. All right, we got a full slate of NBA basketball on the board this evening. Let's start off with our NBA DK lineup of the night. We're going to start off with Corey Joseph. Very affordable at $5,400. He's been money, consistently producing, five, six, seven times your value. I think he's put up 83, 84 DK points over the last couple of games. I think he's in a nice spot. I tell you what, guys, the Pacers are giving up a ton of points right now. They're giving up 114 points a game over the last five, six games. DeMar DeRozan, speaking over the last five games, DeMar's been on freaking fire, man. He's putting up 32 points a game. He's averaging over 5.6 assists per game. He's a must play tonight. He's going to put up monster numbers for a moderate price at $8,500. Don't look now. What is this? All Raptors? No. Terrence Ross not on the Raptors anymore. Terrence Ross starting to play his best basketball with the Orlando Magic. And a good thing about this is the Magic get blown out a lot. I said it. Terrence Ross was born to be a Magic player. Born to be a Magic, that is really, it's like born to be a Heat. But, Terrence Ross has put up, he's putting up 25, 27, 30 DK points. It's against Boston tonight. I think it could be a blowout, and it's just going to be bombs away for him. He's playing 37, 38 minutes a night. DeMarcus Cousins playing against Sacramento for the first time. And if you weren't paying attention, he doesn't like them very much. All right, he came back the other night, he put up 29 and 16? He's going to go freaking off tonight, man. All right. DeMarcus Cousins is a must play. It's personal. Tristan Thompson, the Cleveland Cavaliers, they lost again. Unbelievable, man, that the Bulls just keep on beating these guys, but they do. They're upset. Tyronn Lue starting to panic. LeBron's getting pissed. They get Philadelphia tonight. Philadelphia have no healthy bodies on the inside. I think Tristan Thompson's going to rack up 14 rebounds at least. It's a nice play for 5,000. Jordan Crawford. Don't look now, man, but Crawford's been sneaky good since coming back to the NBA and signing with the Pelicans. He's put up double-digit points in 9 of his last 10 and 11 of 12 games overall with the Pelicans. Josh Richardson's been on fire. You want on fire, Klay Thompson? Guy's hit 16 of his last 32 three-point shots. He's put up 26 points a game over the last couple of weeks. All right, let's get to our best bets of the day. We're going to start off with the CBI final, Wyoming. We're going to lay the 8.5. I'm a little bit worried about it. They're not going to win by 26 like they did the other night, but they're still going to cover. Texas A&M Corpus Christi versus St. Peter's. St. Peter's are a better basketball team, but we're going to take A&M, Corpus Christi. They're 16-1 on their home floor. Charlotte Hornets. The Nuggets are starting to fall apart right now. Give me the Hornets, -125 on the money line. Pacers and Raptors. This game's going to go over the number, over 204. Spurs. They don't lose three games in a row very often. I'll take my chance that they beat the Thunder tonight, although the Spurs always screw me. You guys know that I love to bet the overs, so give me the Wizards and the Jazz over, but give me the under in the Warriors game. 10 straight Warrior games have gone under, and our public parlay Blues and Capitals. May the winners be yours.